how tragic Leah's story is. And a lot of times when I'm just ruminating on something over and over and over again, I talk it out loud. And I nanny for 3 kids, and they love to hear stories. And they ask me to make up stories for them all the time. And while sometimes that's exciting to make up a story, sometimes it's stressful because I make up a story, and months later, they ask me to continue the story. And I'm like, okay, let's see what I remember. And they're like, no, Sarah's mom died. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember. I don't. And so sometimes they like to hear what I'm going to be preaching on the next week. And so they asked if I was preaching this Sunday, and I said yes. But I said the story was really sad, and it was making me really sad. But I said, I can tell it if you want me to. And they did. And so I explained to them that there was this family that God had called. And last week you talked about Abraham, how God called him away from his family and into a new family with Sarah, and made a covenant with him. And he had a son, Isaac, and Isaac had a son. And that's where we see Jacob. Jacob is Isaac's son. He actually stole the blessing from his older brother Esau and then left and went to a new place and fell in love with a woman named Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel. It was love at first sight, like a romantic comedy, or just a romance. But it becomes kind of a tragedy really quickly. Because see, he's supposed to marry Rachel. But then we meet Leah. Leah, who is Rachel's sister. She's not as beautiful as Rachel. Life hasn't been great for her. No one has wanted to marry her, and as a woman in the ancient Near East, she was kind of a burden to her family. If she didn't get married, she was stuck in her father's household, and he had to take care of her forever. And her father didn't want that. So he devised a plan. He told Leah, "You are going to marry Jacob." "What?" Leah wondered. "But he loves my sister." "Oh, I know, I know. But you need to marry him. You are the oldest. He will marry you." And so Leah, not having a choice, goes along with her father's plan and marries Jacob, who understandably is very upset when he finds out. He married Leah, who he did not love. And so he just decides, okay, Laban, Leah and Rachel's father, I want to marry Rachel still. So Laban agrees. He'll just have to work for more years. So Jacob's going to get what he wants in the end. Laban got what he wanted. Rachel will get what she wants in a way. She'll get to marry Jacob. But then there's Leah. She didn't ask for any of this. And now her sister and her are at war with each other. She's married to a man that she knows does not love her. And it's tragically sad. And so she thinks, what can I do to be loved? To be accepted and to be wanted? So she prays to God to have a son. If I can only have a son, my husband will finally love me. Then it will be useful to him, important. He'll care. She has felt useless and unimportant and unloved for so long. She just wants to be loved. And then God gives her a son, and her husband doesn't love her. He's not cruel to her, but he loves Rachel, and Leah knows this. So she prays again for another son. And God blesses her with another son, and still her husband does not love her. And again, she is searching for love, and she is not finding it where she is looking. We've all been there at times, looking for validation from the world around us. It's easier and easier to do today. You post a picture and you really, really, really want a lot of likes on it. Then people find me funny, maybe. Oh, they're like me. We seek outside validation and acceptance and love all the time. And there's so much pressure to be liked. Not only by our spouse, which hopefully our spouse will love us and like us, by our friends, our coworkers, our peers. When I was about 9 years old, my parents told me that for the first time ever, I was not going to be homeschooled, but would go to real school. And it was terrifying. What I knew about school came from movies. And so if you've seen a movie about school, they're not always super realistic. There was, in the movies, the popular kids and the losers. People were always picked on. I was terrified. I cried. I begged. I bargained. Tried to get my way. It didn't work. They didn't cave. I was so mad at my parents for doing this to me. Because I didn't know what to expect at school. I wanted to be liked. From the movies, I was told that you would have to do a lot of crazy things to be liked at school. You couldn't just be you. You've probably heard the saying, like, would you jump off that bridge if your friends did? And at that moment, I was like, yes. If I need to be liked, I will jump off that bridge. Because I wanted acceptance, and I didn't even know who was going to be in my class yet. And I was ready and willing to do anything to just be liked. And thankfully, when I got to school, it wasn't anything like the movies. But that pressure has not changed throughout my life. I have seen it in my life and in the lives of people around me. The desire to be loved and accepted, and the willingness to seek out that acceptance from places. Or maybe they shouldn't turn. The book and the movie Little Women has always had a special place in my heart as someone with five sisters. I think it really clearly depicts what life with sisters is like. A lot of love and sometimes a lot of anger. You can ask later. Ariana can agree with that statement. But recently I've been reading Little Women book to the kids I nanny, because a new movie came out and they wanted to know, like, what is this Little Woman about? Why is everyone obsessed with it? And I was thinking about Little Women and how Joe, and this, I don't think it's a spoiler to say because it's so old, when she is younger, does not want to get married. But when she gets older, she feels so alone that she's willing to settle to love someone that she does not love, and just to be with them, to ease her loneliness and her pain. To look for love in a place where she knows it's not a healthy place to go, but she just wants to feel loved. Leah just wanted to be loved. It took her a while for her to realize that while her husband may not have loved her, God always loved her. It says that in our first verse from today, that when the Lord saw Leah wasn't loved, he enabled her to have children. The Lord saw that her husband did not love her, and he loved her extra. In fact, the names that Leah gives her children, she says, I'll name my son Reuben, for God has heard my cry. And she knows that God hears her. And she names her son Simeon, because God has seen her. And when she's naming her kids, she's thinking about her husband. But God sees her and hears her and is attached to her. And Leah finally names her son Judah and praises God. And in the beautiful story that God has written in our lives, which is that God loved Leah so much that the light of the world came into the world through Leah's family, someone who felt unloved. If we turn our Bibles to Matthew 1. We see that Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah. See, Jacob, Judah, that is Leah's line and husband. And then the father, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Leah felt unloved, but she brought love into the world. God was with Leah the entire time. God cared for her. And when Leah turned and stopped looking for love in the wrong places, she was able to see clearly that God was present with her and loved her in a way that her husband never could. That doesn't mean her life was always happy and easy after that. But God was with Leah in her life after that. His presence was felt in her life. God blessed her. And though the world told her she wasn't important, that she wasn't beautiful, God told her, "You are my child. You are loved. And you are beautiful to me." And God says the same thing to us. God loves us so much that he brought his son into this world for us. We feel unloved often and look for validation in many places, but God tells us to turn to him and seek validation. To turn away from the world and look to a God that tells us that we are loved beyond all measure. And God enables us to do this because it's easier said than done. When I was in college, I had a friend, Emma. We bonded because we both wanted to work in social work when we were older. We planned on getting our MSWs and working in an adoption agency. Funny story, neither of us are doing that now. And Emma, when we graduated from Grand Valley, started her MSW program. And this is what her family knew she wanted to do, and they all said, "Yes, you are so gifted for this. Go and do this." She had talked about it for years. But as she started the program, she felt like it wasn't where she was supposed to be. But it's what everyone wanted her to do, so she kept doing it. Everyone told her how great she was. The more she was there, the more she felt like that was not where God wanted her to be. But she was terrified of disappointing those around her, letting them down, of not living up to who they wanted her to be. But then she realized, God has called me somewhere else. Do I want to disappoint my family and friends who will actually understand, or disappoint God? And so she left the program that she was in and went back to something that she had been doing before. She had been doing pageants and teaching dance classes. She said, "I'll just do this while I figure out where God is calling me." And when she made that choice, when she looked to God for validation and not the world, God came and showed her what he called her for her life. God helped her see clearly who she was as his child. It didn't matter what degree she had or how much money she was going to make one day, but her worth was in her name as a daughter of Christ. Our worth is in our Father, God. And God calls us his beloved children, sent his son into this world to give us life and love and to know that we are his beloved. Just like Leah, God loves us and is writing a story that is greater than we can ever imagine. Leah had no way of knowing that thousands of years later, her name would still be spoken. That the Savior of the world would come through her family. Jesus is here today to tell us that we are loved, that we have been chosen and set apart by his blood and sacrifice, that we can remember and believe that we are heirs to the throne, that we can look to God and praise him for all that he has done in our lives and all that he will continue to do. And we get to celebrate that sacrifice and remember and believe all that God has done for us in just a little bit. And praise our God who loved us before we turned to him. And to go and turn our lives toward a God that loved us before we even knew what love was. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the love that you have poured out onto us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, a love so great that no other love will compare. We ask that as we go into your world, that we give back the love that you have given us, that we remember and believe that we are your children, beloved by the Creator of the universe, cared for, and truly seen as the beautiful children of yours. We ask this all in your name. Amen.